Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Around the backstage of the Common is a pretty unique experience. Glastonbury is thronged with people, strangers passing one another as groups manoeuvre their way through the crowds. Yet, backstage at the Common, there is such a strong sense of community. People stop to smile and chat. It's an oasis of calm in a pop-up city of chaos. Okay, maybe not calm, but a strong sense of community feels woven around the area. As the festival winds down, we caught up with some of the crew, the newcomers and the old cats who had been integral to the community at the Common and found themselves a part of this travelling family.
Ah, the journey. My journey to the Common. That is a good question.
Kerry is the co-director of the Common. And outside of her work at Glastonbury, runs an organisation called the Alchemy of Breath.
I've been to Glastonbury as a punter, jumped over the wall or under the wall or through the wall, however we got in. And then I think it was 2007, I started working for Joe Rush at Trash City. And that was the first time that Block 9 had produced any kind of venue at Glastonbury, and also Arcadia, and I was production managing that space. And then in 2010, 29, I had a meeting in my living room in London, Stoke Newington, and there was a whole gang of the Southeast Corner producers there, and somebody said, oh, Michael's looking for someone to do a new field. And there was a kind of silence in the space and everyone was looking at each other, just kind of digesting that. And Steve put his hand up and said, oh, I'll do it. And I was working with Bridie at the time. We were production managing Trash City, and we just both said also at that time, we were like, yeah, we'll help you. That sounds fun. We'll do that. And so that was the birth of the Common. And yeah, we went to see Michael, and really we got some pocket change the first year, so it was kind of scrabbling together nuts and bolts and some different, it was a bit of a mix mash of venues and kind of cobbled together, but we, you know, that was the beginning. Yeah, so my role now is I co-create, co-produce with Steve. So we work so well together. I think we really complement each other, and we've known each other for so many years that it's just easy. So traditionally, Glastonbury is on land where folk have been gathering. It's on, you know, it's on the ley lines in this country, and often it's called that one of the on the heart ley line of the world. And so traditionally it's been used for gatherings. People are drawn to the land, and they're not really sure why. Quite often it's unconscious that we're drawn to different areas around the globe, but it's the land that's calling us. It's the energy in the land. And so Glastonbury is very special because of this. And I think people have maybe forgotten that we need to be in commune with the land. It's not our land. We don't own it. We need to be in right relation to it and make offerings and let it know, have commune with it, let it know why we're here, what our intention is. And so I felt really strongly that that needed to be brought to the common, because it is part of the late night naughty area, the hedonistic alcohol, drugs, drinking craziness, which people need. But also, why is that need? Why is there a need for that? What is beneath that? What is beneath that need for gathering and dancing and being kind of in an altered state? And so the combination of the work we were doing in Mexico and my connection with breathwork, because although I was traveling on the road in the early 90s, I went with Desert Storm to Bosnia in 94, and then spent a whole decade in Europe traveling with a sound system, creating these spaces, creating these kind of autonomous and inspirational, but also hedonistic and crazy creative spaces with loads of different people. It was a culmination of wanting to bring all that back to basics, bring all that back to something deeper, a deeper meaning for the people that create that space. And so in 2017, there was an opportunity to say, hey, let's gather in circle before we open the field, thank each other, thank the land we're on, thank the people that are coming and the organizers, and just have gratitude and just stop for a moment to think, what the heck are we doing? Because quite often we're on autopilot. And I was met with lots of resistance from the team. I was met with, who are these people? Why are they here? It's not what we're about. We're about the rave. So in the beginning, I was met with resistance to inviting these folk to our space. And William Birdhead Hawke's uncle was there, and he did a talk that year, and like only 6-7 people turned up, but it was so profound listening to his teachings. And he really understood and got why we were gathering, why in this Western culture we feel this need to gather. And so this is where the ceremony came from. And then there was a year off in 2018, a fallow year, and then 2019, there was a much bigger movement of Wisdom Keepers to Glastonbury, and I supported that with my work and tickets. And so we had a bigger ceremony and gathering that year. And then I think people began to get what it was about, because they could feel it. They could really feel the words that were spoken by these Wisdom Keepers. They could feel why we were having this space created.
Okay, so I'm in the yurt. It's on, what day is it? It's Sunday morning. And I'm with the social media expert that's been capturing the common. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us your full name and what you've been doing.
Yeah, hi, I'm Katie Brockhurst, and I'm the social media manager for the common.
Can you tell us about the common and like the spiritual link? Because I think a lot of people will come here at night time whilst they're intoxicated. They may stumble into the temple or into Totem or Rumshack, and they maybe don't understand what the spiritual link is. Can you give us a little bit of an insight?
Yeah, so from a history perspective with the common, it's come through like the free rave scene. A lot of the producers and the founders of the common really have a spirituality running through them. And Kerry, who I just mentioned, she works with the land as well as with the breath. And so some of the work that we do here is not just working with people's energy and vibration, like that, where the idea that when you dance, you're moving into your subconscious and you're able to move stuff. So there's that, like the physical side, the well-being side. But then the land here in Glastonbury is really special because it's sat upon the ley lines. We've got the Michael and the Mary line, and which feed out throughout the whole of the UK. So when we're dancing here, like that energy is moving through the land. And so what we've done is we do ceremony here. We did one in April where we came with a group, we had a shaman with us, we came to the land and we gave offerings. We buried crystals under the dance floor, like right in the centre of temple. We gave offerings and also at Totem as well, and we set intentions for everyone who was going to visit during the festival. So we created like a window from the 22nd to the 28th that would be like a magical portal that would carry that energy, that vibe, that just that positivity that will be held in this space that can then be taken out with everyone when they leave and spread around the world.
When they all go home, they'll have hopefully a little bit of that Glastonbury, the Commons energy with them.
Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about the ley lines, just in case anyone that's listening doesn't really get it?
Yeah.
What is the ley lines? What does it mean? What does these words mean?
Of course. Yeah, so ley lines are energy lines, and they are, you can have find them through dowsing, which is a process. You have like these metal rods and you can find them, and they're all across the world. So you have them like literally linking places together, and they're these special energetic spots. Often in history, like churches and abbeys and things like that have been built on ley lines. But the thought of us dancing on the ley lines, and that our energy is then vibrating into the ground, and then what it does is it travels through. In the indigenous culture, they call it the song lines as well. So for a festival like Glastonbury, how special that is to think that we're working with the energy as well as with the people that are here.
Yeah. What has been your highlight of the week? If you had to pick a moment, what would that highlight be?
Oh, there's so many. Gosh. I'd probably say actually going up the... There's a tower at the back of temple that's like the tech tower where the guys are up doing the pyrotechnics up there, and you can see the whole of the club, and the alien godhead is facing straight at you with like lasers coming out of its eyes. I think the first time I went up there and the crowd was just like going off underneath, that was definitely a moment.
Also kind of going back to the crystals.
Yeah.
Crystals get energized by soil, they get energized by water when you cleanse it, and they also get energized by the sun. So I guess putting it into the ground must be really special.
Yeah, so so they'll be receiving the energy from the people as well dancing, and we wanted it to have a specific like a cleansing effect too, that you know, we've had a tough couple of years out there and everyone, you know, needs a little bit of cleansing and clearing. So we set that intention that everyone would receive what they needed to while they were here. But we've even been doing things like we've got a team with us from Mexico, Imesh, Eric and Felipe have all been here, and they've been in the stages actually like smudging and cleansing the space every day, ready for the next set of clubbers to come in as well. It's been really special.
People don't know all of this, and I love that you're giving people an insight into this. Over the week, we kept seeing this tiny little blonde toddler who was followed by two very cool and adoring parents running around backstage. This tiny little person seemed totally at home, surrounded by the pounding bass and the tirade of people from all walks of life. It turns out that one of those adoring parents was Gold Dubs, a junglist and a headliner of the temple. It explains why the toddler Blaze was so at home around the, quite frankly, gnarly tunes. We heard from Gold Dubs about his experience playing at the temple and becoming part of the common people.
Well, my name's Alex, aka Gold Dubs. I'm a junglist originally, play jungle drum and bass, And yeah, I played in the Temple on Thursday night. Yeah, so it's a big round auditorium, I guess, and it has steps just going all up the sides, so you've just got tiers of people kind of looking down on you. That's kind of where that kind of spiritual kind of feeling kind of came from, and just kind of there's something different about this space. And I don't know if it is, you know, like the, I think a lot of it is the people that have created this space are just like, you know, they're a beautiful family of just, like, again, amazing souls and creatives, and so passionate about what they do. And they're all, do you know what I mean? Every single person that I've spoke to, like, this is our first time working with the team, and like, we just felt so like welcomed and just like part of the family. Like, we've been here for years and we've known all these people for years, and it was just like, it's just crazy, and it's just so beautiful to have that kind of love and like just be included and just have that feeling of warmth when you walk into a space.
Is there anything significant about playing in the round that's kind of different to maybe playing at the front or the back of a club?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it just, it feels more like you can kind of feel energy kind of coming from all sort of points of the room, and there's no, like, do you know what I mean, like square space. I guess the sound's completely different in a round space, and it just feels different. I can't really explain it, but it's just, yeah, it kind of felt more spiritual, I guess, more like we were, you know, less in, like you say, a club, and more just, yeah, we're in a field in the middle of Glastonbury, like the most beautiful field, and just surrounded by like absolutely amazing souls, and just all of that just hitting, coming back, and that is, yeah, it's just crazy. Like, such a beautiful experience, and I'm so like happy to have been able to have experienced that for myself and been part of it.
You used the word spiritual earlier. Do you feel there's a spiritual link to the Common and maybe your DJ set and the space you're in?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And that kind of, yeah, that, you know, I feel like I'm quite a spiritual person. I've definitely kind of had an awakening more so over the last few years, and kind of grown and kind of come into myself a bit more. But I don't feel like you always get that when you go to some clubs, and I guess, like, you know, people's intentions are different in clubs or what have you, and people go out and, you know, they just want to get on the razz or whatever. But I don't know, here, like, obviously, you know, people are getting messy, but it's just completely different sort of feeling. And I think, again, that is to do with, you know, the organisers of the space and kind of the energy that they've put into that. You know, we've buried crystals in the ground and blessed the space, and like that, the opening ceremony with some of the Mexican guys that came over was just like incredible. That was like so beautiful, and like, it was so nice to be a part of that and to be able to witness it firsthand, because obviously, you know, that's quite an intimate thing that happens with the crew and the people that have designed the space. And yeah, it was just a blessing to be involved, especially after like the crazy few years we've just had, and like not being able to be here, and to kind of come back after that break and the 50th, you know, edition of Glastonbury as well. Like, wow, just like such a special experience. I mean, what makes the Common special is definitely the team, like the people that behind it, the energy that they bring and the dedication, and just their history, do you know what I mean? Like, as well, like they have been in this for a long time, and it, you know, they didn't get into it for, you know, I'm sure that people make money and like, but that's not the reason they got into it. And they, you know, used to run free parties. You know, Kerry does like the Alchemy of Breath stuff as well, which I've done as well, and like, I really resonate with that. And it's, yeah, it's just like everything, I think, together, like in this amazing space with all these like amazing souls just putting in so much hard work and just so much dedication. Like, I think that's kind of what makes it so special, because it is literally like, I love all of this, like, you know, the whole festival's just like insane. The Southeast Corner is definitely my favorite area, but the Common, just, it's next level. It is just absolutely next level. And yeah, it's just such a blessing to be part of that. I just want to live in this field for the rest of my life, and if that's possible, if Michael is listening to us, just let us know. Like, we don't mind. We can do anything. You know, we can clear up. We can chop down any trees that you need chopping down, and yeah, we'll keep the place tidy. And yeah, anything you need. Like, if you want a coffee in the morning, we'll bring that over.
The impact of the Commons' commitment to community, inclusion of voices and unbridled joy has a profound effect, not just in the UK, and it ripples across the sea and can be felt as far as Mexico. Celine is the founder of Bajadora, a festival that has created a cultural exchange and a transatlantic community.
Tractor goes by. It is a live festival. Things are happening. And I'm joined by someone that comes every year, and they have done for the last 8 years. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and why you seem to come back year on year? Why do you love this so much?
Hi, my name is Celine Huerta. I'm a French-Mexican. I live in Mexico, and I am part of a festival that is called Carnaval de Bajadora. And the reason why I've been coming here for the past 7-8 years is because we've built a very strong cultural bridge with the common, and they've been coming to our place, and we've been coming here learning from each other, and it's been a great journey. I highly admire and respect their work and their vision and how they convey their message and philosophy in the field, and it's always a great pleasure to be back year after year and see how this community is a real community, and they actually hold into their values and ethics and the way they want to hold on things. And as you said, 2019, it's been 3 years. We live in a different world today, and our industry was almost threatened, I would say. Yeah, like, we almost vanished. We thought we had vanished at some point. So being back here today on this land, yesterday was a summer solstice, and we're here. It's pretty magic, and I'm really, really happy to be part of this collective experience.
How did you get to meet the community that are here?
I got to meet all these people through a cultural project where we were trying to build a collaboration between Mexico and the UK. And I was representing a Mexican band at that time that was called Sonido Changorama. And they had a dream to go to Glastonbury. And I was their manager at that time. And I was about to come and live in the UK because the Olympic Games were taking place. And I thought, yeah, I just want to go to the UK. I just want to engage and learn and be there. And I came and I started to research who is in charge of Glastonbury. Like, how does it work? And you discover that it's a jungle, basically. There's so many people involved and so many house production and professionals and designers and creatives. So you can get to Glastonbury in different ways. And they told me that Lyrics Organics, who's Dan Su, who runs and curates the Rum Shack here at the Common, was organizing a charity event at the north of London. And I said, I'm going there. And I literally went, and Steve was playing, Steve Bedlam, who runs also the Common, and he was pitching there some records. And I met all of them that night, and I told them, hey, this is me, I've got this. And we started to hang out, and they came to Mexico in the first trip, and then this is how we did. So today we've done many, many things. They've designed stages in Mexico, they've they've played as them, as the talent, but also they brought talent from the UK to perform in Mexico. We have programmed here at the Temple and the Rumshack Mexican Talent too. We had a takeover in 2019. So this is how I've been a guest, a friend, a partner, a collaborator. I guess I've had many roles, but I think it's always a good excuse to come back to the common. Like, you want to see more, you want to do more. I think that when you share a collective vision, you need to grow this community. And I mean, we like, as Mexicans, to come here to the UK and see how do you guys you do that. And then we bring it back to Mexico and we apply it to our own reality. And we do the same then when we come here to show how our cultural identity has evolved, our rhythms, our sounds, the fusion of old and contemporary, and Glastonbury and the Common. I think it's the best place to get to that audience and to share that message that some stuff are happening. So, you know, like, this is the place, I believe, with Shangri-La, with Block 9, with the southeast corner, I guess, freedom of speech, things are said quite loud and clear. And I think that this realness is what we're looking for. So that would be, I guess, my best excuse to be here. Great. To get to that realness.
Now, I know everyone's going to be listening to you and going, oh my God, I need to go to this festival in Mexico that's 2 hours outside of Mexico City. Tell us a bit about your festival.
Carnaval de Valladora happens every year during the carnival season in Mexico. It's 90 kilometers away from the capital. It's in a aquatic park called Las Estacas. It's like a natural reserve. So our main protagonist is a crystalline river. We've got 9 music stages. It lasts for 3 days. It's a small scale festival. It's only 15,000 because this is how we want to keep it. And it's beautiful, it's a carnival, but it's a contemporary carnival. Like, you see some stuff that you wouldn't expect, and it's very rare in Mexico to still have independent festivals. At the end of the day, you can easily fall into being a product or fall into doing like only a business, selling tickets and booking huge artists, which I respect, but it's not at all the line of the carnival. So it has a very beautiful community, very niche, that really goes to discover new sounds. It doesn't really matter if you're quite known or not. It's a really beautiful experience. So it's a nice sample of how Mexican society could work if we had a proper system. Because as we say, building a festival, it's not building a party, it's building a city. So you need to provide services, you need to think of health and safety, you need to think how the journey of the consumer since the moment you arrive, how do you sleep, how do you walk, how, like, you need to take care of all these matters. So sometimes when you go to festivals, things are working the way you wish they would work in your own reality, and this is why when you go back home you have the blues, basically. You're like, wow, super, back to reality, basically. Yeah, no. Yeah. And you wish you live in a festival every day. Because it does actually work, right? Yeah. So I guess, yeah, it's a nice experience. So I hope you can be next February.
Next year, I'll be there.
Yeah, we will meet there.
Yeah, wicked. Thank you so much.
So my name is Jade Shaw and I am an out-of-body experience researcher and teacher, aka astral projection teacher.
With Glastonbury drawing to a close, the ritual and community of the Common is taking a year-long break. So if you want to travel there, you may need to leave your body to do so. Here's Jade's advice from her Totem Talk.
Okay, let's learn how to do it. Everyone here, we're going to learn how to have an out-of-body experience by the end of the weekend. Whether or not you do depends on how much you practice and put into action what I'm about to say. There's 3 different ways you can have an out-of-body experience. Sorry, 3 steps. The first is you have to enter the mind-awake, body-asleep state. The mind-awake, body-asleep state is when your body is completely relaxed to the point, ideally, where you don't feel it anymore. Total body dissolution. And then your mind is awake and aware still. So the second part is you enter the vibrational state. So there's numerous techniques you can do to enter this sensory, which feels like vibrations. You might see lights, colours, crazy sounds. You don't feel your body anymore. But this is like the glue that helps us to kind of lift off the vibrational state. The third is the actual sense of separation, the exiting. I don't like the word exit because it implies something is leaving, like a spirit or a soul. We don't know if something is leaving. So I say it's like an expanding beyond your body. But it does feel like you're literally popping out. So the first technique is, when you go to sleep at night, my speciality is teaching people how to do it on the cusp of sleep. I think this is the easiest because we go into this altered state twice a day without thinking. So it's easier to harness than making one from scratch. This is called the hypnagogic state. So you're drifting on the cusp of sleep. And has anyone had any of those colours, spirals, geometric patterns, weird noises, voices or music on the edge of sleep? Show of hands. Okay, cool, about half the group. So that means you've entered the hypnagogic highway. So we cruise along the hypnagogic highway. When you hit those hallucinations, colours, sounds, you've hit what I call the sweet spot. On that sweet spot, you want to implement an exit technique. Now, because you're here for the weekend and we haven't got much time, I'm going to skip the vibrational state. We're going straight to the exit because only 30% of people go through the vibrational state. So don't get hung up on that. So you go into sleep in your tent. There's kids screaming, there's ravers going on, you can't sleep, there's vibrations under the floor. I want you to go, what can I see, what can I feel, what can I hear? And you do that one by one. What can I see? And you be present. So this is mindfulness, you should be present with what I can see. Now, you've got your eyes closed, didn't mention it. You've got your eyes closed, what can I see? Bits of grey. Actually, I just saw a figure, I can see a figure and eyes. And it's gone now. Okay, so what can I see in my perception? It might be blackness. What can I hear? So you anchor into sounds. What can I feel? So feel just means sensations, the bed covers, your clothes. What can I see? What can I hear? What can I feel? And you recycle that. And do it in about 10-second cycles, unless you're a very good meditator and you can concentrate. So cycle that. You're anchoring your mind to each point. At some point, you'll hit the sweet spot, the Goldilocks conditions, not too awake, not too asleep. This is on the hypnagogic highway. When you hit that, I want you to have the intention and physically go for it as though you're actually doing it and roll out of the body. So it's like you're lying on the floor and you go to turn. Now, don't move your actual physical body. That doesn't move. And you will get a sense that you are moving even though your physical body isn't. And you should almost question it. You might be going, oh my God, I'm really moving. But you kind of know you're not. I did a workshop. I was the consultant for the Netflix show Behind Her Eyes, which uses astral projection. And I did a workshop with the actors, and the main actress, who actually astral projects in it, managed to get her energy head out of her body. So I said one of the easiest ways, if you don't want to roll, just sit up. It's one of the easiest ways. So she sat her head up. She was so shocked. This is what I talk about in beginners. She was so shocked, she snapped back to her physical body. It's like she went, ah, and then came back again. So try and lift your head out. If not, try and roll. But I would go slowly, because if this is the thing. If you go for it too quick and you're not in the sweet spot, your level of awareness will come back to waking state, and you'll have to spend all that time trying to get to the mind awake, body asleep state again. So what am I seeing? What am I feeling? What am I hearing? That'll take you into the hypnagogic highway. When you start to see colours, hallucinations, or music, that's when you implement your exit technique. When you exit, use your intention, but also physically go for sitting up. If you can't sit up, try rocking from side to side. When it begins to feel real, this is a key thing. When it begins to feel real, like you're really moving, then roll all the way out. Don't do it too early. So you want to rock gently and then roll all the way out. So I'm going to give you one third tip. How much time have I got? No one's answering, so I'm going to do it. Okay. The third tip is this is called the disruption exit technique. This is the best one for you to implement at a festival, or if you've got kids, or if you've got pets, or anything that wakes you up, or you're living next to a building site. The disruption exit technique takes the disruptions of our sleep and turns them into gifts to astral project. Anytime you are woken up or you rouse, like some ravers waking you up, someone trips over your tent, just try to roll out of your body. You might already be in that sweet spot. You might already be there because you're just rousing. But you've got moment. You've got seconds before you drop off again. So in that moment, you need to build the habit of doing the rollout technique. This is how I project most of the time because I've built a habit of it. So anytime you're rousing, okay, I'm going to roll out of my physical body. And then you can intend to go do something. But if you want to learn more, I'm going to send you the information. And if you'd like to, you could come on a workshop or watch my documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. So in a midst of trying to make sense of my experience and freaking out and having an existential crisis, I went around the world and I interviewed some of the best people who are experts on out-of-body experiences, sleep neurologists, shamans, Tibetan Buddhist monks, psychologists, psychedelic researchers, David Luke. I know some of his team was here yesterday. They're all in the documentary talking about what they think's happening. And it's good for complete beginners. Okay, thank you very much. Do get in touch if you have an out-of-body experience. I hope that made sense. And thank you for bearing with me in my first talk in 2 years. Thank you.
Something we're also curious about is whether a lot of the talks and a lot of the sort of morning stuff that happens or afternoon stuff that happens in the common is very spiritual and energy-based and vibration-based. But also, so there's the night with the music. Do you think possibly that the dancers, the ravers, the party goers feel some of that energy that's been generated, you know, through the ceremonies, through us talking, through us rubbing each other's backs? Do you reckon there's energy that kind of stays in the area?
Yeah, I think if all of the energy from the people that are coming together and having these discussions builds this kind of vibe in the space, and there's these ideas of this in shamanism and spiritualism that a space can contain and hold energy, and this is what you can sometimes feel as you go into a forest or a room or a mountain, and you feel a certain sense or vibration. If the ravers are going in later on at night and then tapping into that, especially, let's just assume some people might have taken mind altering substances, there is a very real possibility they can tap into that beneficial positive energy and take a little bit of that away with them.
I absolutely think they can. I think it's very unconscious though, but listening to some of the words of the MCs, listening to the words of the DJs, listening to the feedback of them, I mean, they always come off hyped and excited because the venues are amazing, but this year there was something else in their voice and their tone and their words. So, and that will be a mixture of everything, you know. Glastonbury hadn't happened for 3 years, so everyone was in really good spirits. But I think they can feel it. And one example I can give you is when Imish opened the totem, the totem talk space in front of the totem venue, we had a small circle, maybe of 15 people. And as he spoke to the land, and as he spoke to us, I just wanted to say a little bit about the kind of frequency of the rave, because that's where the source of the common is. It's in that dance floor. It's in that I know you hear it many times, that kind of connection between people, but there is something that music does to us that is like nothing else. And I remember quite often when I was living on the road, there was such a sense of freedom there that life could just flow effortlessly. And you know, when you have those serendipity moments, or you think you've seen something before and it's happening again, but this would be different. This would be, you'd actually know what was going to happen before it happened. And I'm not talking about being on drugs. I'm just talking about you've stripped back all the technology. You don't watch the news. You're totally removed from society. And when you do that, there's a part of you that begins to awaken, the part of us that we've forgotten how to live with. And I think this is the part that the totem talks is trying to awaken again in people. and it's the part where you do know what's going to happen before it happens, and it's a really incredible feeling because you feel alive, you feel connected with everything. And I think that on the dance floor there's an element of that, there's an element of that feeling of connected to everything everywhere, which would solve all the issues in the world if we could all feel that.
As we discovered, the common is about so much more than just a rave in a field. It's a community of people who cherish one another with a common goal. And the talks, the culture exchange, the dancing and the music all contributes towards this goal. The common was such a deeply intense space where I discovered so much and pushed the boundaries of my own thinking. I mean, Jade Shaw's talk about astral travel, something I've never even considered or never even thought about because I never knew about it. But then the music took me to other levels. I remember just being in the Mezcal yard and dancing on a platform, having a great old time, or being in the rum shack, and of course getting myself a very strong rum and ginger beer. It had to be done. I'm in the rum shack, of course. Or just kind of being completely engulfed by the sound. I remember there was one point at the festival, kind of before the doors had opened to the public, and you could just feel it. It was really tangible that something was going to shift, something was going to change. And I guess, 20,000 people were about to kind of come into this field. So it was an amazing space that really changed and shifted something in me on a very deep and profound level.
The future of the common. Now that would be telling.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the common. We hope it has given you a glimpse into this incredible community of commoners. Thank you to Kerry Veitch, Dan Sue and Steve Bedlam for giving us access to this glorious field, and to all the crew, artists and speakers who took time out of their festival to speak to us. I've been Erica McCoy. The Common People was produced and edited by the brilliant Marnie Woodmead, with support from Tom Bett and Carrie Stewart. For more information on The Common, you can follow them on their socials at Glastow The Common and keep up with all things Transmission Roundhouse by following us at @transmission_RH.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.